the second half of the third episode, then you watch New Hope, then you watch Empire.
You're wrong.
And forget the teddy bears. That's it. Are we on?
Oh, hi, I'm Richard Campbell from Run As Radio. I'm here at TechEd in Houston. It's the end of day three, and I'm here with Mark Manassi. Welcome, sir.
Welcome. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
We have had some fun this week.
Well, we just finished the third heat of Speaker Idol.
Don't I know it?
I can
barely stand up.
You're the judge. You're seated the whole time. I at least have to walk around.
I feel like I run about 10 miles when I do one of those, because we've gotten Speaker Idol to the you've gotten Speaker Idol to the point where, first of all, we don't have any losers. There's no real bombs.
Nope.
They're all pretty good. Many of them are quite inventive. You know, I want to take them all home. It's like the puppies. You say, okay, which one? Do you have a box?
So for folks who haven't run across Speaker Idol before, it's a contest we do here at TechEd to find new speakers for TechEd. And they generally come from the list of folks who have submitted sessions but been declined. And, you know, we pick and choose. There we end up with 12 contestants, three heats of four each. And you've been a judge for me for a number of years. But I'm with you. This particular lineup this year, all phenomenally good speakers. And it's got to be hard to pick a winner at each heat.
By the way, I got to congratulate you about Speaker Idol. It was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many speakers that are fantastic speakers, but just never get on.
Because, right.
I mean, you know, it's... I once heard an interesting interview with Charlton Heston on NPR like a million years ago. And they said, well, why do you think that you became a big success? He says, I got lucky. He said, well, hang on a second. At the time that I was in Hollywood, there were 20 great people for every possible slot.
Right.
So you had to be that good to be one of the 20, but from in there, you get lucky. And you have provided a pathway for some of those people
mm-hmm.
that we really need to hear from to get lucky. So again,
well, thank you.
You are the man. You are the man, sir.
But I don't understand why I keep talking. I'm able to talk you into judging year after year after year.
You know, I was thinking about it on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
So I love doing this stuff because the teaching is great.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm an applause junkie. We're applause junkies.
Yes.
And there's just no better drug than like 1,000 people in the room and they're loving stuff and whatever.
It's true.
And that said, that's the dark side. That's the monkey that the applause junkie has in his back. And the only evidence that I have that I may be human is that the only thing that feels better is that over the years, not just with Speaker Idol,
mm-hmm.
but for many years, I've helped people become authors, I've helped them become speakers, I've introduced them to other people, and it just feels so nice. I mean, I know that I've made... There's a lot of people in this industry that you know of that I believe I gave them the start. And,
sure.
and the same thing for you. It's fantastic. I mean, and I don't know what the word is for it, right? Because calling them proteges way overstates...
Yes.
They're awesome people. It's just they need to be turned in the right direction. Or maybe it's just the world doesn't know and they don't know how
right.
good they are.
Well, the most we can do is open the door. They have to walk through it.
They need to push sometimes.
One of the fun parts about Speaker Idol, I mean, these guys are giving 5-minute presentations and then you and a panel of judges, including
right.
Jessica DeVita, who was the winner from last year.
And who's terrific. I mean, Jessica has, that's the other thing too. I love Jessica because her presentation style is so different. It's like Paulina, who
yeah.
is a... Another one, she almost won Speaker Idol, I think, or did she win?
Twice, yeah.
Oh,
she was runner-up twice.
Runner-up twice.
And got picked to speak.
Yeah, yeah. She's a fantastic security speaker. Everybody knows Paula. She's, you know, the Polish woman with the white hair and
yep.
brilliant toys. I've known her for years. We've been speakers together at stuff. I've never seen her talk. I saw her talk the other day, and I'm like, I think I'm pretty good. Damn it, I've got the evaluations and blah, blah, blah. She does lots of stuff that's way different than me, but it's fantastic. I move around all the time. She stands in place. I'm like, that's not going to work. It worked.
Yeah.
You know,
she grabs them. She really gets it. They're very, very, very powerful speaker.
I see PowerPoint as being a quotidian. It's a means to get something done. She,
yep.
you know, that needs to be the template for TechEd. You know, I could name so many other people who've just got just a great way, a great personality. I should shut up, but it's so much fun because this is the best job in the world. I'll be
totally
sad when it goes away, and I'm so happy that it's been here so long. You know?
Well, and this morning you had an interesting session. So were you actually the host of a talk with Mark Racinovich?
So, of course, everyone listening knows that you do Run As Radio,
yes.
and you're a host, and you're a great host.
Thank you.
You know. But I was a host of a radio show for like 6 months. And it is way harder to be the host. Way harder to be the host. Because, you know, I want to be on this side. You know, I want to
yeah.
be the guy bloviating about something. You know, you stop me now and then for the commercial or something along those lines. But when you're the host, it's sort of like, okay, I'm watching time. This, you know, Manassi's got to shut up in 3 minutes. And what am I going to ask him? What if he stops talking all of a sudden? You know,
yeah.
What will I say? And so speaking in itself is a chess game. Because what's coming out of your mouth, that's coming out of your mouth, but you're filling the buffer. What am I going to say in 2 minutes? And then there's the moment that, like, you've created the PowerPoint, you've never delivered it before, but you've been researching the living heck out of it. You're on the third slide, the second line, and you say something out loud, and you're like, that doesn't make sense. They're going to ask me why I can't put the Framis into the Narrats. And you got, and somebody raises their hand, and you say, I know your question. You want to know why the Framis can't go to the Narrats. I do. How did you know? I'm a master teacher, and I'm so stupid I never thought of that till now. There's something about actually talking that makes different parts of your brain light up.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
I think part of that is you're representing the audience in your own head. You're always thinking about what the audience is going to see.
I have an alternate theory.
Okay.
You want to hear?
Yeah.
So, like, you've coded.
Yeah.
I've coded. And there's days when you've coded yourself, you're in the cubicle, you've coded yourself in a corner.
Yep.
And you're staring at the screen. The answer is never there. And eventually, I surrender. I turn to my cube mate, Richard, and I explain the problem. And as I'm explaining the problem,
the light turns on.
Mirabile dictu.
Yeah.
You know, the answer comes. Everybody knows that. You know what causes that?
What's that?
I have no idea. But I have a guess. I have a guess. So you know this thing about the right brain and left brain stuff?
Yes.
Right? The idea is that the right brain controls the left-hand side of the body, and so, which means only left-handed people are in their right minds, right? And the two halves of the brain are connected with this one nerve bundle called the corpus callosum.
Yes.
Which is apparently a fairly low bit rate device because...
It's the 56K modem of the head.
Actually, you want to hear the whole story? This is embarrassing. It's a good thing we're not on TV. But women, one of the few things that are actual sexual dimorphism between men and women, other than the fact that they tend to be smaller, they have this, like, T-something or other, OC9 fiber channel from one side to the other. There was a study where somebody, they had these two 25-year-olds, one male, one female, both had a brain cancer, unfortunately, in the Broca's region.
Right.
They operated on them, took it out. They both lost the power of speech. Inside of a year, the woman's speaking again normally because she has this, oh, she's got this bus, this really high-speed bus. And meanwhile, we got the... connection from one side to the other, and the poor guy
still can't speak.
And I'm not done. This all does make sense because I think when you say it, my mother said to me, "You have two ears and one mouth, Mark. That should tell you something." Right. I didn't pay attention, but you know, I'm thinking as I say this, the sound comes out. It goes in both ears, which means it's the first time the other half of the brain has heard. And
nice.
It's like, oh, call me. I know. And that's what's happening. I live in fear of the first time I do a talk, which is like, you're going to say something stupid. No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
And you're okay with it, right? I mean, I think one of the things that's happened after this many years of speaking is I'm pretty comfortable dying on stage now. It's just not that big a deal anymore.
I've always thought, and you know this, mm-hmm. You're a master teacher. I can teach you nothing, but maybe somebody here will benefit. The best thing you can ever say is I don't know at least once.
Absolutely.
For two reasons. One is it's truthful.
Yep.
The other one is all those times you were making stuff up, when you say I don't know, they're like, well, I believe all that stuff that they said.
You're setting the stage.
No. Actually, the correct answer is I don't know, but
yes,
I can offer you a wag, a wild-ass guess, or a swag, a scientific wild-ass guess.
Nice.
Would you like that? And that seems like the reasonable way to answer it. But anyway, we were talking about teaching styles. And
before we go tearing on very far, I've got Mark Benassi here with me. Certainly one of the best minds around Windows and many other technologies, been in this business for a long time.
Aww.
And if you've got questions for either of us, for me around Run As Radio or anything like that, or from him,
so sweet.
From Mark Benassi, by all means, tweet them out to us. At Channel 9, at CH9. We're happy to answer anything you want. But let us continue, because I'm having a lot of fun here. Exploring all these ideas.
Well, and teaching is fun because this is an overused phrase.
Yep.
But a good teacher learns how to hack the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we've talked about some of this before. And anybody who wants to know some more, Mark Rasinovich and I did a really fun session the morning, oh, dark 30, after the party in Tech Ed New Orleans in 2010, not the one in 2013, 2010. If you look at Manasseh Rasinovich presentation, I don't know if you were there, but it was, we packed the biggest room, which
right.
was nice because everybody else was sleeping it off. And we talked about, we gave I don't know, 45 tips about how to talk. And part of it really is biological. Mm-hmm. I think we've probably talked about this before. But, you know, if you're a public speaker, the question is always, is humor necessary in public speaking? And the answer is only if you want to be asked back. You know? But, and we always knew that was true.
Yes.
But you may know this 15, 20 years ago, Now that we have these functional MRIs, I want those to become cheap.
Yeah.
I want, screw Google Glasses, I want a functional MRI so that...
On your head all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I can just play back. You know, I had that interaction with Jane, and I felt so weird what was going on. Oh, the lying region was lighting up, and I wasn't paying attention to it. No, whatever it is, you know. And what was I talking about?
We're talking about how humor makes people remember.
Laughing, right. So they found that when you make people laugh, so like when I'm talking to you, I believe that every presentation is really a persuasion.
Yeah.
Even if it seems friendly. Even we both feel it's friendly. But you still get the filters up. When you laugh, the shields go down for about 15 seconds.
Right.
So if I can take a concept, wrap it in a laugh, bam.
Yeah.
Right between the eyes.
And, you know? Yeah, and use a piece of humor that is related to the topic. You know? Yeah. So you can actually...
Isn't that goofy?
Yeah, but that's part of the challenge of it, too. It's easy to just be funny, you know? All you got to do is hit yourself with a cream pie or fall off the stage. I mean, that's all easy. But to actually pull a line out that's related to that particular topic that makes people twing, you know, then that actually sticks around. It's challenging. We talk about, I mean, I've talked about security, I've talked about scaling websites and so forth. It's not a lot of funny stuff in there, actually. But when you can find the right one, good things happen.
I'm going to disagree for two reasons. One is get in the habit, I don't always do this, but get in the habit. We've got smartphones. When you say something funny or something funny occurs to you, just do it. Like write it down or speak it or something like that, and you'll be able to make use of it later.
Right.
That's A. B is funny stuff's just going to come out of your mouth.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, not the peculiar thing, is it's a muscle. Like, I have a very good friend who's a great speaker, and he's always saying, will you please look at my PowerPoint? I'm like, you're a genius. You know all this stuff. He says, no, you're going to find the funny. I'm like, you're funny, man. He says, no, you're funny all the time. It's just, it's like Barbara McCartland. She wrote romance novels. I think she's no longer with us, but she wrote about a billion romance novels. Her daughter took it up. I heard a interview on NPR 20 years ago where they're interviewing her daughter because she's passed away, and she says, well, what did your mom tell you? And she said, there's really the only thing you have to do to be a good writer is practice. Just write every day.
Yeah.
That's easy. You can sit, well, easier if you really want to start to write, because, you know, I've written lots of books, and people often say, how can I get started? Here's what I would say. Every day, set aside a half an hour, set aside an hour, put the computer away. You want just writing pad and a pen and whatever, write 500 words.
Right.
It doesn't have to be good, but just do it. And you know, you got that hour. If you don't write anything, no problem, but you can't do anything else. And that gets you into over that hump. And in the same way, when you're feeling funny, don't share with your friends because they're not always going to think it's funny. But if you do enough of it, you get better at it.
Yeah.
You know? Look at you. You guys do the Mondays. Do you still do the Mondays here?
Once in a while we do Mondays. It's been a while since we've done a Mondays. It's a challenging show to coordinate. Four hosts. So actually getting them all in the same place at the same time is very challenging. But yes, we did Mondays as a weekly for a while.
I remember that. I thought you were still doing that.
Yeah. You know, like getting to it every week is really tough. Being funny on schedule every week is hard. it's hard work.
Part of it, though, is I think there's structural. There's certain stuff I can use all the time.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. Tomorrow, I'm going to do, for those of you listening, at 8:30, I'm going to be in some room doing modern apps for IT pros. It's going to be an internals talk about Metro apps, and it's actually pretty good. And at one point, there is a cool thing for connected standby.
Yep.
So called powerconfig/sleep study. And what it does is it says, the last time I tried to go to sleep, these were the five big drivers that stopped me. And it's got, you'll get like the last seven times. So I have a snapshot of one, and it's like NVIDIA something, NVIDIA something, NVIDIA something, Avastar, NVIDIA. And tomorrow I'm going to say, NVIDIA, is there anybody here from NVIDIA? No, let's talk about them. It's a way to bring, or another reusable joke. When Verizon and GTE, these are local phone companies on the East Coast of the United States, merged. When Bell Atlantic and GTE merged to become Verizon.
Yes.
My joke was that brings new meaning to the phrase "twisted pair." But I mean, that's a joke you can use in a million places, space it out by a couple of years. Listen to funny stuff. I was asked recently, I was at a big conference, there was I won't mention the country, but it's a small country, and a vendor brought in essentially every CIO and every CEO in the country.
Wow.
To hear me talk about the cloud. And one of the questions was, how can CIOs and CEOs relate better to each other? And they're doing a lot of the conversation in their language, and it's cultural. I don't understand their exact culture and whatever. I said, can I just break in as the guy that doesn't speak your language? I said, yes. I said, I think if you want to make two people work better, go to a comedy club. I prefer Stephen Wright.
Yes.
Because he's so absurd, it's a little like being stoned. I mean, I think there's some, no, I'm serious. There's something about enough comedy. Maybe it's just like, I can be funny too, or whatever it is. But I find that the creative muscle all of a sudden finds this new bump. If you don't believe me, try it sometime. If you're ever stuck, if you're ever in a rut, go to comedy. I mean, grab something on Netflix or something.
No, but I love improv for that, right? Like going off and doing improv with someone.
Doing improv.
Yeah, doing improv. Not watching it. Watching it's okay, mostly because I like to torment the improvers, right? They ask for a murder weapon. You go, mayonnaise, right? Like, make it interesting for them. So they just have to think about it a little
bit. Okay.
But actually doing improv, for two people,
right?
Because the essence of improv is always saying yes. Yes and.
That's it. That's it.
Right? It tears down walls for communication. Like, right. It really moves stuff forward. You got two people that aren't working well together. Throw them into that. And after an hour of that, one of them will be dead, or they'll be laughing, and you know, problem solved.
Yes.
The other approach, of course, to breaking that wall down is pizza, because pizza is the universal lubricant.
Which is why I make the best pizza in the world. But I have to agree, and it gets me back to an old thought of mine, which is that, well, I was doing my talk this morning, and so my talk with Mark Krasinovich was that... So Mark's very kind. He wanted to do a talk at a conference a few years ago, mm-hmm. and it was supposed to be Azure Internals.
Right.
And this is like 2-3 years ago. And I said, Internals? He said, yeah. I said, you do know no one there uses Azure. He says, no, of course not. I said, I'll make you a deal. We'll go in and say, how many of you use Azure? And if more than 2 people out of the 900 raise their hands, I'll buy dinner for everybody.
Nice.
He says, what am I going to do? I said, you're a smart guy. You know everything, man. Just do basics, Azure basics. Mark is a fantastic presenter, mm-hmm. and he's really, 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 everything must be nailed down, and everything is right.
He's a planner.
He's a planner. He's to get it done, which is why his talks are so astoundingly slightly higher rated than mine. Slightly.
It's gone back and forth slightly. For years. I've watched slightly. Those scores.
Tomorrow night, he and I are going to be holed up in a restaurant somewhere with the evaluations going F5, 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 F5. None of our friends can stand us on Thursday evenings. But anyway, he turned to me and said, you can do it. I said, no, I can spell Azure. He says, no, you interview me. I said, what? He says, you be Johnny Carson.
So this is where this talk came from.
You be Johnny Carson, I'll be the guest.
Okay.
I'm like, cool. We pull out some paper, like, we got to come up with 7 questions. And it was great. Mm-hmm. It was great. But again, I'm being the host, which means it's, you know. And the first time it was good, it wasn't great. And the second time we did it in Las Vegas at the other fall Las Vegas conference.
There's another conference?
I heard a rumor. And this time we had a little more time to prep. And it just, first of all, the crowd. You know how you just get a good crowd?
Yeah.
Now and then the universe just says, we're giving Mark an easy one today.
Yeah, we're all in.
Yeah, precisely. MMS doing my IPv6 talk was like that. And so... where was I on this? So the crowd was great.
Yep.
And we just started out, and it's always a little slow to get started, but we got a chance to do something funny fairly early on. Because the thing is always, here's the reason it's a tightrope thing, mm-hmm. is that when you and I are doing stuff, we have a great vibe, but we're really not beating each other up too much.
No.
But Krasinovich and I've known him for like 17 years.
Yeah.
And we've had these little rivalries. And so our best modality is when we're beating each other up a little bit. Because mm-hmm. you got to get the content out.
Yes.
When it's tuned
up. The subject was Azure, I presume.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. And I'm the cloud Gnostic, right? So it was a tremendous amount of fun. And it really, we got started a little slowly. The jokes were just a little bit, but then it started working wonderfully. Mark doesn't think he's a funny guy.
Right.
But he is. And like, for example, I was asking about data mining. I said, do you guys data mine our servers? He says, well, it depends. Do you mean like Bing searches? I said, no, I'm sure you're data mining those. But if I build a virtual machine and I've got a hard drive, and they're in Azure storage, my E colon, and he was having trouble like understanding, you know, you're doing this stuff on the fly and whatever. And he says, you're going to put E coli into Azure? And And I said, well, and all I have to do is, and he had explained that if you check a box, you can replicate everything. All I have to do is check a box, and I can have it all over the place.
E. coli will replicate everywhere.
Yeah, it's fun when you can do that stuff, and I think everybody was with us.
Yeah.
But it's, here's the tightrope act, is that my question is, okay, that was great. Did he need me? I mean, would it better have been, if I wasn't asking the questions, Rasinovitz could have done 15% more work, delivered a lecture, probably been funnier. And I've asked everyone, and we had a big crowd, and if any of you are out there and didn't do your evaluation, I don't care about the numbers, write a comment. We want to do it again, tell us how to be better, tell us what we're doing right, tell us what we're doing wrong. And if any speaker doesn't ever say that to you, stop going to that person's talk. I'm dead serious.
No, we need the evals. No, that's how this show runs.
I love the numbers. Please give me a 4 on the 1-4s. Please give me a 5 on the 1-5s. But that comment field, but the comments field, you know, we get full of ourselves sometimes. You know, we're getting riding a little too high. Maybe we make a comment that's a little off color, that, you know, or something like that. That's the important field that just gently shepherds us back we're doing this for us.
But right.
The way that we know that we're providing to them is that we get that little pushback. And when we do something particularly right, pat on the back, that's good. That keeps us doing more of it. And that's the only reason I've been fortunate enough to be able to keep doing this for 31 years.
It's been a while.
So. I mean, 31 yeah. years. And it's just so much fun. It's just so much fun. But anyway, so we did it. And I think this third time was better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that we can do something like this next Tech Ed. And getting back to why Mark doing the lecture, I've asked a lot of people. I've asked about 20 people.
Right.
And they said, no. We love the interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny thing. I've told you this story, but let's do it on camera. When I was a kid in the States in the 60s, there were two primetime cartoons, the Flintstones and the Jetsons.
Yes.
And I'm a kid. I'm 6, you know. And there's this one episode where, for whatever reason, the Flintstones and the Jetsons are in the same episode. And there's a part of me like, ooh, they know each other. And they're just, I was 6. but I had enough brain. And they're like, why do you think that? What? Why is that a big surprise? But the fact is that we all have our little gravitational fields.
Yep.
You know, there's the Rasinovitz lovers, there's the Campbell lovers, there's the Manassi lover, and and then when you go to one of these things, maybe you find a new favorite guy.
Right.
Remember the movie The Fugitive with Tommy Lee Jones and Han Solo?
And Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford. As Richard Kimball. Kimball.
I walked into The Fugitive a Harrison Ford fan, and I walked out a Tommy Lee fan.
Yeah, I love Tommy Lee. Yeah,
he's fantastic.
With you.
So in the same way, but there's a funny thing. It's like the amount you like Mark and the amount you love Rasinovitz is multiplied.
Right.
And it's almost like people saying, I guess they think we're all islands.
Yeah.
That they don't know that we hang out, that you and I are good friends, and you know, and the same thing with Rasinovitz and whatever. And so maybe it's just a passing fad. Maybe they'll get tired of us. But for now, I really hope that we get to do it. And we should all do it more. You and I should do a talk together sometime.
Absolutely, we should do a talk. I can't imagine what it would be, though.
You do the dev part, I'll do the ops part.
Yeah, well, I sort of swing between the two these days, right?
I know.
I ended up a performance guy because
Campbell,
I can handle
Campbell,
both.
Campbell, you're smarter than me. Just, you know.
I wasn't going to go there.
Get over there. It's because you're Canadian. You guys have a better government. You have less to worry about. So you have more time to learn things. Oh, so part of what we're talking about brands.
Yes.
Part of what I said was, I said, how many of you are afraid of the cloud? And do we get any questions? are we getting questions tweeted at us and we're ignoring them?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure. So how many of you are afraid that you might lose your jobs to the cloud?
Mm-hmm.
The first time that I asked this question to an audience about 4 years ago, I got about 3/4 of the hands.
Yeah.
This time I want to say 20%. But still, my answer to them was, you know, it's not like there aren't other things to do.
Yeah. It's not like we've always had more work to do, right? Like,
Yes. But think of it this way. Are you doing what you were doing 2 years ago? Are you doing what you were doing 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Another way to think of it is, when you and I are asked to help hire people,
mm-hmm.
you get a resume. Okay, it's not paper anymore.
I go to their LinkedIn page, yes.
Yeah. And it says, I've had 20 years of experience doing something. Does he have that, or did he experience the same year 20 times?
Yes.
I mean, think of it. So I'm 56, you know, let's talk about guys in their mid-50s, guys in their mid-40s or whatever. And there are people who are 48 years old who haven't learned anything new about their business in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Their value is they're good at dealing with humans, which is important, but haven't had to learn anything. None of us can do that. There is no such thing as an IT pro that is experience the same year 20 times.
No.
The ground beneath our feet is never steady. We're being forced to learn things all the time.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. You know,
it makes the job interesting.
It's not just that. I always say that 30 years from now, I want to go back and do a longitudinal study of Alzheimer's patients. And I'd be willing to bet that among devs and IT pros that we are way down there.
Right.
Because we've proven if you exercise the brain, Alzheimer's gets less of a hold on you.
Right. Your brain is really, really active. And but my sense has always been the stack of work has always been massive. And much of it, you know, even when you take all the plumbing work off,
right.
There's big thinking work that needs to be done.
That's right.
So the fact that we could actually free up some brain space, actually get out of the pounding surf of one disaster, what's the fire today, kids? Like, if we could get past that and start doing real preventative work and real improvement work, everything gets better and the job gets more fun. Like, I also see there's folks that are addicted to the disasters. Like, they are crisis managers.
Right.
Because you know what to do every day. And you don't have to think, right? It's like, just wait for the phone to ring, because it's going to ring, and put out that fire, and you'll know you've done the right thing, because it was the biggest fire at the time.
You got something done.
I knocked
it out. Check the box.
But this actual, I'd have seen folks really choke, when it's like, okay, there's no fires today. Today is a quadrant two day, to use Covey's reference, right? It's a chance to do real preventative work. What do you want to do? And it's not that they don't know that there's things to do. It's that actually prioritizing is hard. Actually looking at a list of five things we all could be done and saying, we're going to do that one first. That's actually tougher than it looks.
Absolutely. No questions about that. And you know, really, whoops, I'm banging on the mic. Sorry, I'm incredibly tired after doing both that class and this speaker idol.
You've had a long day
judging
already.
You too. But I mean, it's... Those, you can't live with stress forever.
Yes.
You can't live in wartime, and we do. IT pros live in wartime, which is why it's even more interesting. I was just having lunch with a bunch of my Irish buddies.
Yep.
And Aidan Finn and you know, Damien and Kevin and those guys.
Yes.
And we were talking about what we do on the side, and Aidan's a great wildlife photographer. Damien, as it turns out, is an amazing DJ.
Oh, wow, I did
like,
not know
like
that.
Unbelievable DJ, and Kevin's like got world awards in kickboxing and stuff like that. Everybody in this business, think about it, when we were kids, fathers had hobbies.
Yes.
Not anymore, people got too much stuff to do. IT pros, we find time to do things despite the fact that we don't have any life at all.
No, but yeah, you kind of need to have something else going on. Hey, we did get a comment from Gordon Beaming. He says, it's not actually a question, but wanted to say that the Rasinovich-Manassi show was brilliant.
It absolutely was, and I got to thank Mark once again for letting me come play in his sandbox, because that was just...
So do you feel like when you do that session, are you representing the audience there? Is that part of the dynamic, is that you ask the questions that they would ask?
When Mark and I did it the first time, again, I've known Mark for almost 20 years, love him and everything, but his problem is that he has a four-digit IQ. And those of us with a three-digit, like, I would sit in one of his internals talks, we'd have a beer afterwards, and he'd say, how'd you like it? I'm like, I understood 25%. He says, no, you're smarter than that. I'm like, no, three-digit IQ, barely.
Yeah. You know, just?
Yeah, just. You got the big four. And it's not just that. Mark is like the... you know the Star Trek in the bad season where they stole Spock's brain so it could run an entire planet? Like, Mark's in the middle of a lot of that stuff. He's both the front guy.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows Rasinovich. He's hero of Soviet peoples and that sort of thing. But he's also very deeply involved with a lot of design stuff. Yeah. I don't know that he does much coding anymore. But he's just...
It's the nature of being a tech fellow, right? Like, he really represents an awful lot of leadership in that space.
Exactly, you know. You know, and part of the problem is when you get immersed in a project at Microsoft, as far as I can see, first of all, there's like a whole pile of jargon that you learn immediately, and you just learn to speak the jargon stuff. And so it's natural to get out there and assume that everyone is using Azure,
right?
Or everyone knows the lingo. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if I tell people what Azure data services are, they're going to be bored. No, most of us are still head down fighting the fires,
right.
And we don't know that much about Azure.
Yeah.
And so I hope that I was able to formulate questions that I think Mark was a little worried, were a little too basic, and I was worried too. But We got from people, no, we didn't know any of that stuff.
Right.
We've been wondering about it. That was fantastic, you know, so I'm hoping that we'll, you know, do it again, maybe a series or something like that. I mean,
well, I think you bring up the important challenges. When you work on this problem every day, you forget what you know, you know, and the assumptions that you make.
That's so exactly
you
right.
Get in front of a group of folks that are working on hard stuff, they're doing their own thing, but they are not immersed in Azure every day. There's a whole bunch of assumptions you're making that they don't make. And so being able to pull that back and work through those initial assumptions, that's what gives us really light to understand how things work together. But get that you're excited. We're just trying to keep up with why you're excited.
And
there's a lot to it.
And so sometimes, so I guess what I bring to the party is that when he gets into high-speed mode and there's something cool he forgot, mm-hmm. or, wait a minute, I can't see, you just said we go from A to B, we don't have a transporter, how did we get there? Then, you know, we can stop and do that. But the first time that I did it, he was talking about storage or something like that. I said, can we recast that in IT Pro dummy speak?
Right.
And someone objected to the word dummy, so we don't say that anymore, but I can, you know. But it's, you know.
Mere mortal?
That's right, mere mortal. That's right.
It's definitely moments talking to Mark Residuous who are like, I am but a mere mortal. And they, can you just slow down and say that again?
Well, his third book, you know, what is his name? Kevin Aiken?
The character.
Yes.
Yes.
No,
because he writes fiction on the side, in case people didn't know.
That's right, that's right. And so the third one is Rogue Code. I said, is this a cloud thing? And he said, no. I said, will the fourth one be? He says, I'm not sure. I said, I have the name for you, Cloudburst. Although I suppose Microsoft wouldn't much like Resinovich writing a novel about how the cloud destroyed the world.
Yes, you know? Or endangered the world, or was a security exploit in the world, yeah.
Unless they blamed it on Amazon.
I wouldn't go there. But
see, he doesn't understand the reason I don't
I think
use
Cloudburst is a product on the Amazon side.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, he doesn't realize that the reason I think I'm going to end up in the Amazon cloud rather than the Microsoft cloud is that I have Amazon Prime.
Oh.
So I'll be able to get the cloud overnight, which is like, I mean, beat that, Microsoft. I just don't think they can.
Yeah. Well,
I suppose I could download the cloud.
That's a whole other piece of the equation, actually. And I'm really interested to see, 2014 is shaping up to be a really interesting year to be in technology in general. Not that we've been suffering up till now, but coming out of the Build conference and here at TechEd as well, we've had an amazing set of announcements. Like it feels like the company's firing on all cylinders. We're really excited about the product stack. We've got a ton of work. Like there's no limit to how many shows I need to do. I've shot 9 .NET Rocks this week.
Really?
And a half a dozen run-as. It's just because there's so many stories that need to be captured. I'm good. I think I got the summer off now. You know, we're going to be able to carry right through.
Certainly there's some fascinating stuff. I watched the Build keynotes in some of the sessions, and I've just got my Lumia 10, 20, 41 megapixel with the badass camera thing.
Oh yeah, you got the camera mount on it, because photography is important to you.
Well, the extra battery helps also.
Yes.
And it's got a tripod screw on it, so that, because I don't have really steady hands, so it's going to work out extremely well. But I'm going to write some phone apps, because I want to become a phone developer in my copious spare time, because I'm moving to Florida, right?
Yeah.
So, because there's stuff I want to do. I think there's apps that need to be written, and I can't wait. And the idea of going from that to a universal app is going to be a tremendous amount of fun, assuming that stuff works.
Well, it's going to be interesting.
Whenever you hear that, right?
Yeah.
Write one app, many platforms, like.
Well, and cross-platform stuff's always a challenge because it always comes down to, we as developers really like cross-platform. But the customer doesn't care all that much. They only care about their platform.
Well, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, so we can have to really limit the sacrifices that we make there. But I'm absolutely with you that you know, the penetration of these devices is only getting bigger, the opportunity is only getting larger, and the ability to development. I think languages are becoming simpler, the models are more coherent, so it's faster to build these things. In some ways, you know, I think you built your career on operating systems. Operating systems are becoming kind of transparent now.
Certainly for a man who's built his career on operating systems, that's an interesting question. But, you know, what I like about it is I love understanding the plumbing. And I love taking the complex part of the plumbing and explaining it to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like for example, tomorrow's talk, I will teach you some things that you as an IT pro could use. But honestly, 60% of the talk is, this is the way it works under the hood.
Right.
So maybe when you see an error message, you'll understand it a little better.
You know why it's there, yeah.
I will talk about the new multitasking algorithm, which is really exciting. I mean, everybody knows about the priorities and all that kind of crap we've had in NT since the old days. This is now going to let us, it's a new multitasking system for the Metro apps, and even better, add it into the multitasking, is the new Power Control. You can take a 7-year-old computer, put Windows 8 on it, and get extra battery life, and I'll tell you tomorrow how it works.
That's awesome. Mark, thanks so much for coming to chat with me
Richard,
for a half hour.
So kind of you to invite me.
And if you enjoyed this, you can listen to Mark and I a number of times over the years on Run As Radio at runasradio.com. We've done a bunch of shows. Some of them have gone all over the map like this one has. And sometimes we actually talk about technology. Actually, one of my favorite shows was right after, I think, two builds ago. And it was 7 o'clock
in the
morning.
We were both very hungover in my bedroom or your bedroom recording. And we were supposed to go to half an hour, but went an hour. And at one point, it was the most downloaded. We have to do more Run As sometime soon. And with that, thank you. Remember to use this knowledge for good and not for evil. Signing out.
Did you steal my clothes?
No, I use